Alrighty. Hello. I haven't talked to you in a minute, buddy, but I'm so glad I can catch you up on what I've been up to. And, you know, I've heard from you this week, and I know that you are struggling, so I wanted to pick a topic that I will get into in a second. But first, let me just catch you up with what I've been doing. It's been a minute since my last episode, just because school has been mind-numbingly busy. It's just that thing where you feel like your to-do list is just infinite, and no matter how much you get done, the pile does not get smaller. So that's what my week has felt like, or my month. It has been a long time since I last recorded. I'm also not feeling like super amazing again. People that know me know that I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease like back in December. And sometimes, you know, I kind of just have bad phases where I struggle just to get literally anything done. I have no energy, like my joints ache, and it all just like existing just hurts a lot. But I'm probably starting to feel that way again, mostly due to the stress of everything I'm doing and not eating great, you know, once again due to that stress, which is a great segue to the topic that I know also applies to you, which is burnout. I would like to talk about burnout this episode because I think this is an incredibly important and relevant topic to college kids. We are all dealing with it, you know, especially more now than ever as, you know, society is speeding up. It's just like everyone go all the time, everything. But yeah, that's what we're talking about this week is burnout. Anyone that kept up with my Instagram, I had a post talking about burnout, and in that post, I called it adrenal fatigue, which, you know, upon further research of that term, you know, just trying to prep for this episode, I realized that is actually not an official medical term or diagnosis. It's pretty much just like a lay term applied to, you know, a bunch of vague symptoms, I guess, like pretty much like the symptoms I was talking about, which was, you know, fatigue, body aches, unexplained weight loss, like lightheadedness, loss of hair, like, sorry, I'm literally reading this off of Mayo Clinic, and that shakes me because I'm literally experiencing all of those things. But anyways, yeah, so that kind of shook me a little bit that that's like not officially a medical thing, adrenal fatigue. There's something called adrenal insufficiency, which is real. I think it's also called Addison's disease, where it's like your body literally just does not make enough of, I guess, a certain kind of hormone. And I guess the general attitude in the medical community is that it's, I guess there's a small party that are saying that, like, people can have a mild form of this if they've been, you know, overworking themselves. It says here, the unproven theory behind adrenal fatigue is that your adrenal glands are unable to keep pace with the demands of perpetual fight or flight arousal. And like, I've heard some people explain it, you know, today in our society, because, you know, most of our basic needs are met, like no one's attacking us. We pretty much keep ourselves fed. Like, our fight or flight response might hook on to things like work and keeping to a schedule and homework and things like that. And because those things are kind of always happening in our society, our fight or flight response is on all the time. And like, we can't turn it off. And that's kind of like, you know, generalized anxiety disorders and things like that. Yeah, so that small party of people in the medical community are saying that, you know, the symptoms that I was talking about are like a mild form of adrenal insufficiency, but all of the studies that I was looking at says that that's not a thing. And that confuses me. Just because, I don't know, you know anyone, like, in your life that's super stressed out. And you can see them, like, physically diminish from that stress. So it's super interesting to learn that. I guess people just, it's important to not accept adrenal fatigue as any kind of diagnosis, because really, like, that collection of symptoms, you know, could mean other things more serious, like depression or fibromyalgia, or in my case, you know, Hashimoto's disease. So I guess it is important that we don't assign adrenal fatigue as a common thing. I don't know. By the way, I claim no expertise on anything. I'm just explaining things, learning things through the lens of a college student that is perpetually going through it. That being said, I'm still going to proceed in this podcast to talk about this state of, you know, just being mentally and physically exhausted due to prolonged stress, because there are a lot of resources on the internet that talk about this. There are even studies that, you know, talk about the effects of prolonged cortisol elevation. You know, it affects your entire body, but I can't seem to find any official studies that name this in particular. And also, you know, as a woman experiencing a hormone-related illness, I'm very familiar with the medical culture of brushing off people's non-specific complaints and symptoms. And I'm just not with that. So I am choosing to just talk about this, and I realize that I might not have a ton of official studies backing up what I'm talking about, but, you know, I know so many people that feel the exact same way I do about burnout. It doesn't feel good. There's people that have found ways to address that way that they're feeling, and I'm just here to share those things that have helped people, you know, official medical diagnosis or not. It's still a reality for some people. It is still the reality that they are experiencing, and they deserve to be listened to. They deserve to be helped. And just because, I guess, our medical community is not in a place where they can explain this phenomenon, I think it's important to still talk about it. So if you are currently a college student and you feel like you're doing a million things, but you're also doing them kind of bad, and you're just exhausted all the time, you can't focus for anything, you're emotional and you're either, like, losing a ton of weight or gaining a ton of weight, like, your skin is bad, your hair is falling out, like, just take some advice from this podcast, because that is something that I am also struggling with, and I have found things that have helped me come out of that a little bit, because your feelings are real, your body is going through something that is real, and there are real ways that you can stop feeling like that, because life doesn't need to feel like that. Life shouldn't feel like that. Life should not feel like you are being beaten down, like, at all corners all the time. Like, you should feel, you know, like you're on top of things. You should feel good. You should feel excited to do things, or at the very least, you know, have the motivation to get it done. Life does not have to be dragging yourself through the mud, like, every single day, and it doesn't have to be, you know, battling just to get out of bed. That's not what life is supposed to be like. Some people, you know, resigned to this might say, like, oh, yeah, it's normal. Everyone gets like that in college. Everyone feels like that. Who cares if it's normal? That's really crappy if that's normal. And it's crappy that we accept that that is normal and that normal means okay. Because just because it's normal doesn't mean it's okay. You're a college student, you know, beating yourself up because you're trying to juggle a million things and you're not, you feel like you're not doing any of them well. And then you just beat yourself up even more and you're just like, it's because I don't work out enough. It's because I don't, you know, it's because I don't do enough this and I need to be doing more of this and that. And you're just trying to like, you're just trying to force yourself to do even more because in your eyes, you are somehow insufficient. Somehow you're not good enough. And that's just not true. You are good enough. But you are not giving yourself the space that you need to function like you're supposed to. I was going back in high school, I was going through a very, very tough time personally, junior year. And my guidance counselor said something to me that changed my perspective forever in terms of self-esteem and self-image and self-love. She said something along the lines of, you know, you are a car and you are sitting here trying to rev the engine with no air in your tires, with no gas in your tank, and you're getting frustrated because the car won't move. And that, to me, that really shook me out of my bad self-talk habits. You know, I was doing bad in these classes. I was not being my best self. I didn't feel motivated. I couldn't get anything done. And it's because I was just trying to beat myself into success. And it just doesn't work like that. Like, of course you are going to not have any focus. Of course you're going to feel tired. It's because you aren't giving yourself any space to have something left to give. I know a lot of people of the people-pleasing variety that, you know, have end up in all these obligations. They spend their day, you know, stressing out to get this thing done for this person. You know, you want to hold up your end of the deal on this. You're doing all these things, but are you stopping to ask yourself, what am I getting out of this? Are these things taking care of me the same way that I am bending over backwards to take care of them? You know, the things, take a step back and take inventory of the things that you need to be the best person that you are. No one can tell you who you are in your best state. Only you know who that person is. Like right now, I know that something is wrong because I have this vision of who I am at my best, and right now it's not feasible for me to get there. I don't have the energy. I don't have the motivation. We all need to take a step back and ask ourselves, what do I need to give myself to make my car go? I want to take my car and I want to do all these cool things. I need to give it the proper care and attention that it needs to function. You need the proper care and attention to yourself in order to function the way that you want to function. And that includes admitting to yourself that maybe you can't be juggling 12 different clubs on top of 5 different classes and also applying for internships and working a job on the side. Like, nobody is Superman. No one can do all that. And you know what? Someone that can healthily get to a place like that is making sure that they are making the time for sleep, for proper nutrition, and stress management. Those are the three things at the base of your, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You need to address those things. Otherwise, you are not, like, of course, you're not going to get to the rest of the pyramid. You're not going to feel, like, fulfilled in your career or your life if you are not taking care of yourself. Or if you are in an environment that doesn't allow you to take care of those needs. So to the college student out there that's, you know, their hair is falling out, stressing out about things, maybe you should consider stepping back from something. And I know you're like, I can't step back from anything. Like, these people need me. Like, I'd be, you know, such a jerk. Like, blah, 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 blah. Like, whatever it is that you're doing, like, vice president of knitting club or whatever, like, just ask yourself if that is worth your mental and physical health. Those people will figure it out if you have to step back and take care of yourself. You are the only person that you have at the end of the day, so you need to take care of that person. You need to take care of you. It is your biggest asset, and you can't run it into the ground. So that's just my message to people that tend to overschedule themselves, like me. That's something I'm working on. I'm taking a step back from things just to try to get my health and my mental well-being back on track. Never, ever, ever feel ashamed for that. You are the person that has to live your life. You are the person that has to live your reality. So you do whatever you need to make that reality more bearable and as it should be. I want to talk more about those three things that I said. You need sleep, you need proper nutrition, and you need to properly manage your stress. Those are the three pillars of keeping your stuff together in college, in my eyes. If you're not getting sleep, you are coming at your day just in a complete haze. You're not going to be all the way present for the things that are happening. Your brain is working slower, so you aren't showcasing to people the smart person that you are. They're getting this tired, non-functioning person who didn't get enough sleep. It's not good for you. It's not good for your mood. It's not good for your sanity. Like, people will die without sleep. That is, you know, present in studies. That is necessary for your all-around health. Is that you get sleep. When you sleep, your body has a job of doing several things. It makes new connections in your brain. It solidifies those. It heals, you know, maybe you worked out that day. It heals the muscles and the tears, and that's when you do muscle building. It is the time you're body puts you to sleep so they can do the work that they need to do. And if you're not letting them do that work, you know, of course you're going to start falling apart. You need to sleep. And I know it's not fun. And I know at 12 a.m., you're like, oh my God, this TikTok feed right now is amazing. I don't want to stop. You need to force yourself to stop so that you don't ruin your day, ruin your week. Believe me, I am totally that person that feels like they could run a marathon, like, at midnight. But once, you know what helped me a lot, actually, was melatonin. I've told people before, I used it like braces for my sleep cycle. I started taking it at, like, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then about an hour later, it would start to make me feel super sleepy. And then I would, you know, be ready to go to bed at like 10 o'clock, 11. And of course, then be ready to wake up at 7, 8 a.m. So I just took the melatonin for a little bit until I ran out of it, until my sleep cycle was aligned to where I wanted it, which was 10 p.m. to 8 a.m., I guess. And that was something really helpful with my routine and my sleep, was getting on that kind of schedule. The next thing that I think is really important, of course, is proper nutrition. You know, I notice a huge difference in the way I function depending on how I eat. You know, I've had days where I'm like, ugh, I don't really want to eat breakfast. I think I'm just going to drink this coffee and go to class. And then, of course, I drink the coffee. I'm in the bathroom for several minutes. And then I go about the rest of my day like a shaky, sweaty mess. Yeah, maybe I'm like getting a ton of stuff done and like I've got tunnel vision on my computer, but like I feel terrible. Like I'm anxious and I'm like crying and I'm sweating and it's so gross and it's so not good for you, because that little productive streak eventually does run out and the coffee will not do that for you anymore. You're just drinking coffee and you feel like garbage still. So it's not healthy to do that. You need to put food in your system, first of all. I know that seems like basic, but the majority of college students I know actually barely eat. And that's crappy. I even see jokes on TikTok about how like Gen Z just doesn't eat. They just drink cold brew and cry and stuff. And it's true. It's true, you weenies. Eat. Most importantly, eat vegetables. I know, I'm giving you like a scary moment where you're like, oh my God, when's the last time I ate a vegetable? Go eat something green. Like, your body needs it to function. Right now we're young and we don't see the intense effects of not giving ourselves proper nutrition, but like you will see it in your skin and your hair and your energy, in, you know, weight gain. Eat a vegetable. Eat a vegetable, y'all. It's good for you and your body needs it. See it as fuel for your success. See it as an investment in your future. Also, you get to drink coffee without being all shaky because you're remembering to eat and your body needs fuel to function. You need gas in your tank to make the car go. So far, please sleep, please eat. Make time for those things. Those are non-negotiable aspects of life. I don't care what needs to get done. I don't care what someone's asking you to do. Make time to sleep. Make time to eat. Next, this is a more complex, not, you know, clear-cut one. The third one I was talking about is stress management. You need to have some kind of solid strategy to manage your stress. For a lot of people, that's going to the gym. They make appointments for the gym and they're like, okay, this is my time to work out, to let go. And exercise is a really helpful stress management tool. It kind of, you know, gets you all worked up and sweaty, and then after you're done running, you just like feel amazing and that runner's high hits you. It's good for you. That it's also not for everybody, but it's just important to have some kind of method to make sure that you're dealing with that stress. Because if you just tell yourself, oh, I'll just try to relax, I'll just try to not make a big deal about things, that's not gonna work. You need an actual physical, tangible strategy to address stress before you even start to feel it. Things that you do even when you don't feel stressed that week, that you do anyway, because it is proper maintenance on your system, on you, the car. Non-negotiable. I know for me, every week I try my best to go to JMU's restorative yoga and meditation class. That is something that is really helpful for me because, you know, when I have a crazy schedule, it like kind of plucks me out of that schedule and I'm just in a room and it's dark and there's a very nice lady saying nice things, telling me to breathe. And for 40 minutes, I am sitting there actively training my brain to let go and be present and be calm and be tuned into myself. And for me personally, that training of my mind has been super helpful in how I deal with things day to day. It allows me to like kind of pluck myself out of a stressful situation and be like, all right, take a step back, be present. Everything is okay. Things will get dealt with. Nothing is really being helped by me, you know, going total doomfest about it. You know, it could also be things like hanging out with friends. Make time to hang out with friends if that is something that lessens your mental load a little bit. It could be, you know, playing an instrument. It could be going on a walk. It could be anything. It's just so important that you make time for something that takes away your stress and you make it non-negotiable. Now, of course, you know, if you're supposed to be doing homework, you don't take up, you know, your entire week with your stress-relieving activity and be like, self-care. I'm just talking to the people that, you know, will stuff their day from dawn to dusk with stressful, like, obligation-like activities. You need to make time that is non-negotiable, that you take for you, to do nothing. To do nothing but just exist in an enjoyable state. I've been doing my best to make those three things in my life non-negotiable, and things have gotten a lot better. You know, suddenly I'm more creative again. I feel like I have more thoughtful energy, I guess. Like I'm able to form deep thoughts and all that. What's the word I'm looking for? I guess like my cognitive ability is back up. Like, you know how when you're like tired and stressed and you feel gross, you just feel like a little bit more stupid? Well, since I've been trying to take care of myself more, I feel a little bit less stupid. I feel like I say an intelligent thing here or there. It's very rare, but it happens now. But yeah. I'll just finish this up with saying that I know you, listener. I know that this is something that you struggle with. You are totally not alone in struggling with it. Everyone is dealing with it. But once again, like, that doesn't have to be your life. Life is not supposed to feel icky. It's not supposed to feel unbearable. You know, I obviously don't have all the answers, but I hope any of my advice can help you on your journey to feeling better. Life is crazy, but we only get one of them. What is so wrong with prioritizing making it an enjoyable life? Your mental health is paramount, and you want to do amazing things, and you are capable of doing those amazing things. You can do it. You just need to bring it back to the basics and give yourself that foundation that you need. You need to give yourself the love and attention and basics that you need to be the amazing, creative, energetic person that you are. Be empathetic to yourself. You're, you know, treat yourself like a little flower. You need to water it. You need to give it sunshine. You need to give it love, and it will bloom and do all the pretty, lovely things that you want your flower to do. All right. Well, that is my soapbox for the week or the month or however often I manage to get myself in this studio. Once again, follow me on Instagram at Lauren K-A-Y O'Connor with two R's at the end. Or I actually just got my professional website up. Had to do that for a class. You could also visit Lauren K-A-Y O'Connor with one R at .weebly.com. Go ahead and check that out. I think I also, what else do I mention? Oh, my email. It is also Lauren K-A-Y O'Connor with one R at gmail.com. You are always free to reach out to me with issues, with topics. Just rant to me. Tell me what's going on with you. I'll tell you what's going on with me. It was so, so good talking with you, buddy. You and me are in this crazy thing called life together, and I will talk to you next time. Later, kid.